to this evening. I'd like to welcome all of you to this community meeting, which I'll start from the line in my first meeting. And I want to for us to be together this way. In this instance, we've got a collision of various communities coming together in a form of a cluster. So the kind of cluster that we have called government and administration is a committee meeting of government and administration. So there are various committees that constitute part of the committee. That's not part of the information. We do have public accounts. We have a cooperative government and traditional affairs, that is COPCA, women, youth, and people with disabilities, but part of this cluster, a committee on private care and mass registration, and also committee on the Auditor General. There is no restriction for the committee on public civic center administration, which has actually done the coordination of this kind of work. I must say there are more communities that constitute part of this as well in terms of the grant file. We do have the department that are in the president of this, planning is part of this committee. Also, performance monitoring and evaluation under Minister Colin Shabbat is also part of this. And planning would all know under Minister Trevor Manuel. We are part of this. Of course, the one expectation that Minister Collins might be here, and of course, I would really want to apologize about the turnout. It just happened that many more things had passed. It was a hectic week, and it happened that many people came at the same time, so we might not necessarily have the kind of turnout that we expected. So, but the case is that as a start, this is quite critical. You know, for us to integrate and coordinate our work in such a way that will enable us to work in a sensible way. And to know parliamentary role of oversight, we really want to do a meaningful oversight, and we realize that when we come together, work as a cluster, it becomes much better. We avoid competition, and it actually creates a impact. So we believe that starting this process is going to grow into the next year. We did start it as public citizen administration at some point where we just had a presentation of how the cluster works. But now we took it a step further where we then bring all our communities that actually say bring on where we are, how best we can impact moving to the next year. And what we really want to emphasize that that's the approach that we want to take to moving forward. I'm sure that that's most of the that is engaged in this committee where we find that public safety commission comes and make a presentation to public safety administration and tell us that we have to quickly rush to another committee and to another one. So they also feel that if it's one group, all those committees came together, it would be much easier. So it's kind of a personal way. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, I'll quickly introduce a good law of Arabia, and there is many, and I meet others, but I'll be made aware with time and actually, it's just a long time, and it's possible to introduce them and appropriate them. We do have the minister, I don't know if minister, Gareth is with us, the minister for cooperative government and traditional affairs. We appreciate your kind of minister. We also have the DG, the DG for public safety and administration, and we will also take us to the presentation together with the DG for Home Affairs, Some of them are definitely going to be doing a lot of work while we'll be actually operating in the way. And let's see that we do the for contribution. So we are meeting the delegation from the government. And honorable members, we do have checkers from the government. So that when the country, but I know, of course, one of them is the one that is just entering now. And we have them out of the coming and out, and they will be able to say, none of us are like to say that. And the question of taking things outside the ideas over that during the week today. I know that Christina Mahali as well as the text, no worries, the text, okay. And then, again, the other product of life is the people that are back here. Those are delegates from Zimbabwe. And I came back to this community. They were just cutting off by finance and investment promotion for the community. That is Honorable Paddy Brenda. Okay? And then the Chairperson of Public Accounts Committee, that is Honorable Sadiwa Masakada. That is also the Clerk of Parliament, Mr. Boston and Vuma. That is Mr. Mutil, Miradi, Mavere, Mavere, that is the Special Officer of the Parliament of Zimbabwe. He's Rogai Chizema, who is the Economic and Policy Advisor. The last one was Philip Moseli, that's the Legislative Program Advisor. I'd like to indicate that you're welcome and we appreciate your presence as well. Thank you very much. And in addition to the people that there's an acting meeting for COPTA. Okay. Yes, that's Elway Africa. Okay. And I know the very same kind of introduction, very right. But let's agree that there is a group of people in terms of a meeting that wants to go through. And if we can allow time in terms of thinking the content of that discussion. And of course, we do try to bring ourselves together as a lesson and discuss the lesson. And we got the presentation at the short time and went through it. We realized that this presentation has captured most of the issues that have been raised. And I want to say from the side of Calamity, we do appreciate that you have taken and make sure that you've kept the particular issues of common interest amongst the sentences that are here.
Thank you very much. As much as a colleague from the government, and say that our Prime Minister, about a month ago, with a lot of discussion, we have agreed that we'll be assisting working together in this world. But not only that, our Prime Minister of the Commonwealth Association of Local Government. The Secretary General will agree with him that also will be assisting the government in terms of ensuring that structure are functional, right, and so on. It's a task that will be undertaken in the future going forward. Now, this is the Commonwealth because the British, you can see that things are coming together in relation to what they're doing there. As much as I want to also greet the VCs that are here and who are going to be making a presentation on the cluster, as much as officials from the committee in Parliament, as much as the committee and administrators from the department that are here, I know that I have Mr. Mbwena, who is the next 2 years. The parliamentary officer is a man who also is our face here, one way. Now, having said that, madam, I must say that we appreciate the fact that Parliament is beginning to take the issues of class act in a serious way. I was a member of the political committee before this administration, the new administration. When we're looking at personal committee in a new fourth term, one of the issues we discussed as a member of the political committee was to say, how do we make sure that we create committees in parliament? One of the things that we thought quite serious was that let's remove sectorial committees and establish charter. The discussion was very hard. We came to the conclusion that said, let's have the sectoral committees they are, but strengthen the cluster in parliament. Now, and we also agreed that the cluster system must not be an informal arrangement. It must be part of the program of parliament that is there. Which I think everything must do. You must make sure that you talk to the powers that be, the speaker, the separate authority, that this cluster system must be a compulsory part of the system of parliament. So that the members of parliament, the council, of course, every time when you start, people, there are a lot of doubts in some of them who would not want to come and they think that this thing is going to disappear and other people will discourage. This is going to go to be, it's going to continue and grow from strength to strength. And I'm saying in the chapter in God with discourage, we really appreciate what we are doing in the future. We must bring it now because this is the future going forward. Now, having said that, from our side, as the executive, clearly, the new administration, the committee has been reconfigured. We are saying things can't be effective, can't be introduced. One of the things that we have agreed upon in the first infrastructure and looking at upon ourselves is to say, what has been the weaknesses of the party? We have said we are going to look in government from the cabinet, its committees, the mahuta, everything, what is anything and can review it. And look at how to make the system of government in this country function going forward. In a way that ensures that we get the other one. That's one structure. The second thing we said we want to look at departments. What is the turnaround of departments? What is the government thing? If you are calling an ambulance in a rural area, as an example, or in a deputy area, what is the turnaround time? That is agreed upon in a social contract between South African and the other. Must be great. So that a citizen can be able to say, the ambulance didn't arrive at a particular time. If you are going to apply for an ID, what should be the turnaround? Passport, whatever. And everything else that goes in terms of what needs to be done. They choose what should be done around the community, they choose the hospitals, the clinics, the so on. Now, so that government can really be measured based on what it says it's going to do. Those are radical moves that we will be taking that implementation upon. The cabinet, and the cabinet have raised the things very sharply, and will be engaging in the cluster. To say how we do things differently in a way that benefits South Africans, in a way that benefits citizens. Now, what you are seeing is a work in progress that will be presented, which going forward, having looked at all that, is going to radically change, I think, after the quarter that will be held in Denmark, in terms of what we are seeing in government. We will still engage, think about, present to our colleagues in government in terms of the direction. And the target that must be taken in relation to the issues at hand. I feel that those issues must be able to highlight and raise that your business as usual. They must continue to change going forward. And I must conclude by saying to the president, you were really talking to me to come here. And your persuasion that you have been doing to me in the past week. And compared me to come here. Otherwise, I was going to be like others. Even yesterday, when you were saying, don't have, pointing a finger, like the old property. And if the rain was something like a situation that people say, let me leave everything else and come and yes, because I believe that parliament is important. And I think my conclude by saying that in future there must be a way of coordinating the diocese with the minister. Because I believe that minister must come to the council. If they don't account to Parliament, whom can they account to in a particular way? Because Parliament passes the law, Parliament passes the budget that we're looking, Parliament, members of the Assembly, before they become members of the Assembly, they are part of the Parliament. Therefore, the issues are quite important. And I think one of the things that we must look at is to what are the areas where it should be compulsory that ministers come and account. To me, one of the things that I think must be done, leading the budget. Budgets are supposed to be led by ministers. Leading and the introduction of law in Parliament. To me, I think that must be compulsory. As much as the issues of annual report, when you present annual report, are supposed to be led by ministers. And I think there is locking of all in terms of presentation of matter. I think the fourth category. Supposed ministers to support the year. So that we must demonstrate and show that Parliament is an instrument for our arms. Even the President of the Republic has raised that very strong. To say Parliament must be strong, it must hold members accountable, and I think we must say about that in terms of the way we do. Those are my views for what they are worth in terms of the presentation. Then we can ask. And Professor Levin to take us through what the president is doing in the federation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. We really appreciate that starting with very encouraging. And I want to just say to that I'm sure I think you know that I'm starting to really do that. If you know we were around, I know we would be definitely. I know that we love to get a little of them could be for into play, but definitely your thoughts and some sort of things that are coming to the so Amanda, I think you start off with me. I want to express that from the start, so I'm going to accept that you're asking me from the other side of the church and like you said, you see the very thing that the way that can assist us to work like that, and we ask the community to stay tuned to this framework, and the way that the church has been doing it a lot. And I'm not saying one of you do this, but we realize we have to kind of program that other communities can come back. For example, you know, the state, the Muslim institution, the Arab and the Minister, you know, we do different parts of the country, the Minister, and well, of course, we have to appreciate the problem of the community, and we start our own policy, and we think that we can do that, and also to do definitely something that. And without any anyway, because thank you very much, Minister Event for the seventh of all of you. We understand what it means. Surely all of us are going to work to be sure, you know, that the things to save us, the things to be
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honourable Minister, and Honourable Members, and our guests from the government on all of this coming. The presentation is structured in accordance with the request made by the Parliamentary Structure Authority. We're dealing with, first of all, the structure of the DNA structure itself. And then we will go through the program of action as it has been posted on the government website and look at progress with regard to various parts that have been set. Then we will identify some key issues, a number of which were identified by the committee, the letter we then we will present a governance barometer, which would be something we could discuss in terms of going forward, identifying some of the key areas where impacts will be identified of all the various factors. Firstly, the DNA cluster at a material level is structured as set up in the slide here. It is chaired by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and she is deputized by the Minister for Public Service and Administration. And then the members are the Minister of Commerce and Foreign Affairs, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of the Presidency for Performance Monitoring. Now, just in terms of the reporting on the program of action, we were asked in September to make a presentation to the Portfolio Committee outlining the government and the program of action. We also made a presentation to the DNA Cabinet Committee on progress on the 27th of October 2009. And we then, well, Cabinet considered the various cluster reports from the different clusters last week. And there is a media briefing which will be led by the chairperson of the DNA Ministerial Cluster, which is most likely going to take place tomorrow from South Carolina Parliament. Moving on to the program of action itself, I think the Minister of Office of Governance and Judicial Affairs has clarified that going forward into the new year, it's very likely that there will be a new approach. In fact, it is going to be a new approach, and we're going to change the way in which we monitor and report and even establish the program of action. But for now, we certainly have derived the program of action of government and administration from the medium-term strategic framework priorities. And we have basically identified a number of key objectives. And in terms of these objectives, we have then established a number of projects and actions and with big targets and outputs. I think what will change, one of the things that will change will be a big focus on outcomes and impact. And that is one reason why we will deal with the barometer at the end of the presentation, which helps us in determining the impact of all these various actions that we undertake. What difference do they make? Would be the question that many of the honourable members would want to know. So the program of action, the actual table. We set up the program of action. We all organized on the following basis. There is a focus on capacity for planning and energy at the center of government, strengthening human resource capacity, leadership and management development programs, improvement in financial management, local government capacity building, the citizen service centers, the improvement of frontline offices, anti-corruption, the implementation of the promotion of information, access to information act, and the promotion of the Judicial Justice Act, and then building partnerships as well as strengthening democratic institutions. The next series of slides identify the particular targets that were set and then comment on progress. So, on the capacity for planning and energy at the center of government, the Green Paper was introduced in Parliament. The honourable members are obviously aware of that. And it is currently being debated. A green paper on performance monitoring evaluation introduced in Parliament and approach to set up high-level indicators initiated. A discussion document on improving government performance was approved by Cabinet in this regard. The improvement of the administrative data system in government. New developments in performance monitoring evaluation with the spaces we have basically responded to the project. And the update on spatial dynamics and the review of the national spatial the development of a new ICT guide and analysis document and the provision of hands-on assistance to municipalities. A new guide and analysis document has been developed and the government is taking public control towards finalization. Hands-on support are being provided to Kumalanga and ICT managers being trained in the school in July 2009. The implementation of each government has been delayed due to the reaching of tenders, and the report to challenge from the policy review on the principle and local government is being currently updated. The issuing of an assessment tool for departments to assess their human resource management capability leads projects in our deal with strengthening human resource capacity. A self-assessment tool has been submitted to the minister and will be after that. 75% of the departments to comply with the requirements to support to submit human resource plan. 46% of the departments have complied. Some of the departments have been delayed by the National Macro Reorganization of Government. It's one of the key issues we'll talk about is the creation of the new ministries and new departments. This has delayed compliance with some departments in this area. And the annual HR plan, I'm currently considering, but the due date is in December. All departments have human resource development implementation plans. 67% of departments have complied, and the report is about 40% complete. Now, I think one of the characteristics honourable members flying out of this report will be see that there is a problem with compliance. And you'll see that in a number of areas we aren't meeting the target because of lack of compliance. In most instances, there is compliance around reporting, but in terms of performance as well, actually doing the work, there are a lot of compliance challenges as well. On the filling of vacancies, DGs, HODs, and DGs within 12 months, we only received 16 responses from 150 departments from the public service. And of these, one report is that one post has been filled within 12 months. Similar reports are required regarding the whole of the senior management service, and the requirement to fill vacant posts for the 6 month period. 16 responses were received, 7 departments indicated, and 28 posts have been filled within 6 months. We also have a target of reducing the vacancy rate of funded posts by 10%, and actually during the period under review, the vacancy rate rose by 1.1%. In the local government sphere, the vacancy rate of municipal managers be kept between 11% and 15%. The vacancy rate was 12% as the 30th of 2009. On increasing the employment protection of women in management and disabled people, the current achievement is women managers in managers in the senior management service. 35% of the target is 50%, so well behind the target. And similarly, in the area of disability, the target of 2% is not being reached. We have 0.2%. The study on factors hindering government programs and meeting equity targets is currently underway. The improvement of the quality of HR information, as we include the cleanup of 25% of organizational structures. Most of the work has focused on the establishment of new departments arising out of the reshaping of the executive vice president in May. Monitoring compliance with the basis of administration and interdepartmental working group has been established, and proposals on the retention of HRDs have been developed. In the area of leadership and management development, the targets of provision of the exemption training to 67% of new recruits. So we were able to train about 10,000. MME training, 6 courses of piloted, 3 courses of services, 1,500 officials trained. The courses have been developed and 5 courses have been piloted. Accreditation is underway and 450 officials have been trained. On gender mainstreaming, 20 training sessions are targeted, 27 have actually been conducted, the results of 564 public service trained. So in most areas the actual target were not achieved other than the gender mainstreaming in leadership and management development. In the area of improvement of financial management, the implementation of a tool to assess supply chain management capability maturity. A model was developed and implemented for financial management generally, which also covers supply chain management. A report on the outcomes of this will be submitted to GOLTA and the Portfolio Committee on Finance. The improved training for chartered accountants. Discussions have been held to examine the types of training and a framework on training that has been developed. And the implementation of financial management strategy building model, there is a competency management framework which is currently under development for them. In the area of local government capacity building, developing a framework for the facilitation of posts. A draft framework has been completed and work will continue next year. The framework for the deployment of scarce skills, a steering committee has been developed as well as a concept note on this matter. The audit of existing skill profiles in 17 more districts. 62% of the employees below Section 57 managers have completed the field audit questionnaire. And the mechanism for fire protection funding planning for disaster, a proposal has been compiled and discussed with the steering committee, the National Disaster Management Center and the National Treasury. And the document has also been circulated to departments for comment. In the area of improving frontline officers, a framework for delegation of authority has been developed. There's a draft guide of what is a delegation register. A framework has also been developed on improving the working environment in frontline officers, while departments of health and home affairs are implementing seminar strategies. We'll come back to that in the presentation. The display of service standards, we heard the Minister emphasizing the importance of this. We currently monitoring the extent to which this is happening in frontline offices with the assistance of CDW. Compliance with the submission of service delivery improvement plans is 40%. On the citizen satisfaction survey, a tool for data collection has been developed, and we will have a report on this survey in February next year. On the implementation of the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act and the Promotion of Access to Information Act, GCIS has published contact details with information officers in 2.9 million telephone directories. Training is underway on PAJA. 15 sessions have been conducted. Awareness campaigns also, 5 community awareness campaigns are being held over SABC radio. And the facilitated designation of magistrate courses can be a PAJA matter. There are consultations currently underway, and in addition to this, magistrates and clerks are being trained. The appointment and training of deputy information officers. Currently data collection is underway. The publication of a manual will see information on services annually, about 5% of bodies have each public body can submit an annual report in terms of Section 32 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. Here, obviously, the compliance levels are quite problematic. We see 30% in national departments, 20% in provincial departments, and 10% compliance levels in municipalities. And then departments to develop system for managing requests. Departments have strong systems which are being aligned. In the area of building partnerships, the public participation through the e-legal, there is a process currently underway. Well, just completed last week. And then the public sector summit for government and public sector union. This summit has been postponed to 2010, a date has been identified in March. A committee has also been established to review government strategy on public participation, and a cluster communication strategy has been developed. The strengthening of democratic institutions, a coordinated response to the recommendations of the ASCAL committee, proposals have been drafted and the departments are currently being consulted. An educational program on the importance of the Constitution and constitutional bodies. This program has been developed and submitted to the Minister of Labour. Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister and Honourable Members, we now like to move on to some of the key issues. Beginning with Home Affairs, and I'm going to ask my colleagues to talk to these issues.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The action in the Department of Home Affairs relates to the repositioning of the department as a key enabler in the attainment of national goals, which is set to secure the identity of citizens, as well as others with their permanent residence and other tenants, and the asylum system, but also to reposition the department as a strategic partner in national development and in nation building. The turnaround which has been in progress for almost 3 years now has achieved certain significant results, particularly in the areas of turnaround times, in the issuance of enabling documents, these are IDs, birth certificates, and other documents, passports, etc. But also some improvements in the area of customer care and friendliness. But I would hasten to add that we still experience serious problems in some of these areas, particularly in the area of customer care and a positive attitude to the customer care in front of the citizens, in front of the city, most of whom are ordinary citizens of Florida. But an area where we have experienced significant difficulties, which therefore featured in our turnaround strategy, is in the area of staunching corruption. We have, for in the process of implementing a revamp turnaround anti-corruption program, we are unfortunately still infested with this problem, which seems to infect the nation as a whole, unfortunately. We have launched a campaign that is aimed at creating an acceptance of the value of citizens and protecting the identity of citizens. If I may elaborate very quickly on this, the problems we have today in the terms of the fraudulent documents arise from the fact that many people in this country did not have that certificate at birth, which you don't in some areas. And the birth certificate to the right of documents through the acquisition of any immigration documents, including the ID. So, in order for people to have IDs, we are doing what is called late registration of birth. In order for people to acquire these documents. It's been an area of vulnerability because many people who do not have these, or those who claim citizenship, would take the wrong claim and an incorrect claim that they were born at some stage in South Africa, when in fact they were not born. We have found ourselves having to deal with the state of corruption that people are not South African, actually trying to acquire South African citizenship through the acquisition of fraudulent acquisition of citizenship. The minister of Home Affairs has launched and announced in Parliament a campaign that seeks to register every South African within the next 3 years. It's going to be a very hard assignment, a very difficult assignment, but all resources are being thrown at making sure that this happens, because the cost of identity fraud, identity theft, is incalculable to the nation, both in the public and the private sector. The next point relates to initiating discussions with labor business and other departments to find a strategy of dealing with many migrants who come into this country, supposedly in search of asylum, many of whom actually will be looking for improved economic well-being, either as laborer. These are people who do not qualify to get work permits because they do not have the skills, but who nonetheless are on our shores. They need a realization that this matter will not go away, and if policy is being drafted to deal not only with asylum seekers, where the policy is straightforward, but also with the economic migrants. There is campaigns also extensively review our permitting policy, which relates to the issuance of the different types of permits. What permits given to people who come to establish business, establish permits, etc. The intention, not only to ensure that these are issued in a framework of security, but also to ensure that the government or the nation's strategy for development is secure. For instance, there would be no need to issue a bona fide business customer permit as a system to 1 year or 2 years in South Africa, and then have them go through the hassle of having to accept if their presence in the country is offensive to the thank you very much.
Thank you. The restructuring of national government, as we know, when the president announced the new cabinet, it meant that a number of new departments, for example, tourism as a standalone department, needed to be created, as well as departments which needed to be split, minerals and energy into mineral resources and energy separate departments, education, basic and higher education training. And then a number of functions also needed to be transferred, as in cases where departments were split as well. So water affairs, forestry, parts of the department, reconfigured and in case of new organizational structures working in those departments. Most of that work is complete. Some of it still requires formal sign-off. We've identified the resources for transfer, that's human resources as well as asset resources. The final step will be the sign-off in some cases where there hasn't yet been a sign-off. Most departments have though submitted their request for determination by the Municipal Public Services Administration. Mineral resources and energy and environmental affairs and tourism transfers have already been affected by the medical determination. The allocation of functions to the new economic development department has also been completed. The Ministry of Women, Children and People with Disabilities and the Ministry of National Strategic Planning and Performance Monitoring Evaluation for organizational structures have been developed and they're waiting formal approval and sign-off. So on the whole, I can say that a huge amount of work has been done and the conditions have been created for the new department to be fully functional in the upcoming financial year. We work very closely with Treasury, the Office of the Auditor General, as well as the Department of Public Works in supporting the departments which have needed to do the work in order to facilitate the establishment of the new ministry and departments. The occupational specific dispensations have been very important because we have seen a major increase in an improvement in salaries and provision of service of our professionals in the public service. There were a lot of challenges, particularly with the interpretation and the translation to the new dispensation, which was challenging in some of the sectors. We have to go through arbitration process in some of them, but we have ultimately concluded several agreements and implemented a number of them. And it has really led to a strong improvement in the relationship between government and the employer and labour. And it provides us with the basis for, in going forward, building a real partnership with labour in terms of improving service delivery. So that is certainly one of the key positive signals of the process of the implementation of the OSE. The OSE for doctors, dentists, medical dentists, specialists, and emergency care practitioners is under implementation by the end of this month. We will see completion of that implementation when obviously what comes into the salary into the bank of all these officials will reflect the new dispensation. The OEC for correctional services has been implemented. The agreement was signed in July and the first phase of implementation has been completed. The OEC for engineers and architects has also been implemented by the end of this month. Again, we will have the final phase of implementation at the level of the bank, and similarly for social workers. We've also revised the salary structure for levels 1 to 12, and the agreement has been signed and is under implementation. The next few slides, Honourable Sessions, we have the Acting Director General of the Department of Corporate Governance and Digital Affairs, and the Honourable Director General. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson, and good morning, and other members. Good morning, and good morning, Mr. Scott. Jefferson, the work of the chapter has just focused on local government as well. So, in the next two slides, we are sharing with the committee the work that we've been doing with this text. One of the first things we have done since becoming the new minister was to take a very frank and an honest look the information that we have with regards to state and local governments in this country, and we reached the determination that said we don't believe that the information that we have reflects the true state of what we see happening in this country. We then understood each of the provinces. We work very closely under the political leadership of the ANC there. And that process led to each province preparing its own report on the state of local government, each of the 9 provinces. That then has contributed to us preparing a national report on the state of local government. And that report tried to do a range of things. One of the things that that report tried to do was really to try and understand some of the root causes that begin to characterize the problems that we see. We asked ourselves the question that says, if you look at the white paper on local government, if you look at our very good legislation, we know that our municipalities are meant to be operating in a particular kind of way. So we asked the question, why our municipalities are not moving towards what we call the ideal state. So the report, by and large, shares that we begin to talk about some of those root problems that we need to address to get our municipalities to move towards the ideal vision, developing for vision for local government. Coming to the next slide, what we then eventually did is that we took this report to a local government in Java that we held literally about 2 weeks ago in Boxburg and Johannesburg. This in Java, we invite government, we invite the provinces, we invite all 283 municipalities, and we invite a range of civil society organizations, business, labor, NGOs, and the donor community. We really try to make it a national event. That event was quite successful in that we wanted to do 2 things at that in Java. On the one hand, we wanted to present the state of local government report that I just indicated earlier, and we got very valuable feedback, and we will update that state of local government report. But secondly, at that Indaba, what we also did was begin to indicate to the Indaba what we think needs to go into turning around local government in this country. So we also believe that we received valuable input in terms of what the key areas of intervention should be in terms of turning around local government. What all of us new chairperson is that we intend to go to cabinet in next month, in December, and we hope to go to cabinet with the final state of local government report, which is basically our assessment, but more importantly, we hope to go to cabinet with a turnaround strategy for local government and for the country, and work is very advanced in that area. We also think it's important to indicate to the committee that what we intend to do is not only to have a local government turnaround strategy at the national level. We believe it's extremely important that each of the 283 municipalities must have their own individual turnaround strategy. So once cabinet has endorsed the national turnaround strategy between January and March, we will go to every single municipality in this country and informed by those national objectives, we will really work very closely with each of the municipalities to ensure that they've got their own individual turnaround strategy. Obviously, provinces will guide that process as we work with individual provinces. Also, the reason why we are aligning the process between January and March is important again to make this point, that we believe this turnaround strategy must not be something that sits outside of what we call the integrated development planning process, the IDP process of municipalities. So we are very deliberately targeting January to March to allow this turnaround strategy to become the substance of the IDP and also to inform the budget that obviously are meant to resource the IDP. I think the final point to make on this slide, Jefferson, is to say that we have constituted an intergovernmental working committee comprising of a range of national departments, but we also have all of the 9 provinces sitting on that committee to assist us in finalizing the turnaround strategy. But that committee will also continue to do work in terms of monitoring at the government level now, the implementation of the turnout check. Maybe just the last point to make, which is not on the slide. We have also made a commitment at the Indaba that we will establish a structure, a monitoring structure, to oversee the implementation of the local government strategy. chairperson, we believe that this turnaround strategy is extremely important for a range of reasons, and that one of the primary objectives of the turnaround strategy is to ensure that we rebuild the confidence of our communities in our local government community structure. The next slide, we really just want to give an example to the committee of two important flagship programs or projects that we are currently managing. These two programs clearly will get further emphasis and support as part of the turnaround strategy. But this slide makes a reference to what we call Operation Clean Borders 2014. We have decided and set ourselves objectives to ensure that each of the 283 municipalities and all of the 9 provinces, with each of the individual departments, should have a clean audit by 2040. We have already launched this project in July, on the 16th of July, and really what we intend to do here is to deal with the critical audit challenges and matters of emphasis that have already been identified by the Auditor General. I must say that this program will incrementally between now and 2014 try and turn around the situation in the provinces and municipalities. So clearly we are not going to have a situation where we will only wait for 2014 and hope by then we have 100% clean. We set ourselves objectives which is 50% in this year, 40% in this year, 60% in that year, and incrementally, you know, we'll be focusing on our provinces and municipalities. I must say we've got the Auditor General, we have National Clergy, we've got SALDA, we've got a range of important parties working with us on this very important program. And Chairperson, we've also just seen progress in terms of where we have had potential launches and where we have already established important committees. The next slide is just again another example of a very important program that we believe will assist us in turning around local government in this country. It's called the Revenue Enhancement and Debt Collection Program. As we are sitting here today, we know that money owed to all municipalities in this country exceeds 50 billion rand. The last count we made was about 53 or 54 billion rand money that are owed to municipalities. And these monies are owed by communities, households, they are owed by businesses, and they are also owed by governments from municipalities. We have just recently received the latest budget information from Treasury, which they collect from all municipalities, and we are busy going through studying that information to update the figures and to really verify how much money is owed by these different groupings that are just indicated. Chairperson, I must say that we have concrete a draft strategy with regard to revenue enhancement and debt collection, and we really believe that this strategy will go a long way in trying to make many of the municipalities much more sustainable and start to get. We intend to launch this program in December, and a very important element of this program is mobilizing the public and community around the importance of paying for services. That slogan that we've developed is "You use, you pay," and that is something that we want to really use to drive the implementation of the program. Chair, it's not stop your pay.
Thank you very much. Just to proceed then, we have engaged with the committee on issues pertaining to corruption, and there are some issues we will come back to when we look at the impact assessment at the end. But this just focuses on some of the key areas of action currently where there is a focus, including the capacity building program, which we received on support over a 5-year period. Now, many of the members would recall that we have been advocating for the establishment of ethics officers in departments to ensure that we are able to strengthen the functioning of anti-corruption at the departmental level. So some of these funds will be allocated we really do need to, in the area of corruption, establish a common system, because if we look at most of the assessments and measurements of corruption, not only in South Africa, but globally, they are largely perception-based. And these do need to be complemented by information systems which are able to say how many cases there are in the system in terms of successful prosecution, in terms of failed prosecution or whatever. But I think this is a very important gap, and we need to ensure that we do put the system in place despite the budgetary constraints which are noted here. Then we have engaged with this committee as well as GOLTA on the issue of conflict of interest. We are currently developing a comprehensive integrity management framework which includes the management of conflicts of interest. And this framework is currently being completed with proposals around some of the gap areas, which will include the thorny issue of cooling off. The single public service, the committee wanted to know where we are in this process. A draft bill had been prepared and consulted upon in 2007-2008. It was ultimately tabled in Parliament in June of 2008, but it was later withdrawn in November for further consultations, and obviously with legislation with this kind of weight, as it were, there was a feeling that Parliament would need to pay more attention to it and not rush it through. But obviously, once we get back into the legislative process, we would need to consider the impact of recent legislative changes, such as the Local Government Laws Amendment Act. But as we go through consultation, in the new year, obviously, if there are going to be substantial changes, which is likely, to the draft bill, it would need to be republished for public comment because of its impact on local government. And the NEDLAT process as well was never quite completed, and the bill would need to go back into NEDLAT. It was one of the weaknesses of bringing it to Parliament, because we don't want a situation whereby Parliament actually ends up trying to deal with the NEDLAT issue. That's why it's important to come through the NEDLAT process. So we do know that the President and the State of the Nation have been discussing that single public service must be accelerated. And we also know that the Minister speech indicated that by April of 2010 there would be substantial movement in terms of the legislative process. So that's just an overview of where the process is at, and clearly in the new year it would be a major focus of the committee on public service administration as well as other committees in the country. The Truthform Centre, just a brief update. We do have 120 centres operational. We do have 3,200 different services within those 140 centres provided by 1,300 service providers. On average, 284 people per day were assisted, up a sample of 101,140. In the area of IT connectivity, 58 had a telecom line, data line, with a wide area network installed. 72 have local area networks, and 44 centers have both. The general service counters, where the public can get information and access to the BITV information portal, 41 of the 140 have been identified, and 11 have general service counters installed. There is a review of the program which has been conducted by GCIS together with the Technical Institute of the National Treasury. work has been completed and is currently being consulted with the key stakeholders. The community development workers, there are a number of policy consultations currently underway, with the final consultation to be held effective by November in the way. There are working groups which have been established to address funding, the governance, the management, training, career pathing issues. There is a national master plan and a number of provincial master plans. There is an audit that has been undertaken of the program, which has been circulated for comment. There are 160 vacancies in all provinces. There are over 3,000 CEWs that are going to be employed. And in the top 160 new CEWs have been trained and will be placed in the program. In the area of gender disability, a job access strategic framework to improve the uptake of employment of disabled people in the public service. There is a process of the rollout and workshopping with all provinces, and we're looking at the establishment of public service stability for it. Clearly, this is an area which statistics show us we're not achieving the target, and we do need these kinds of interventions to make sure that we raise awareness, that we raise the profile of this issue, and ensure that from the level of the head of the department down, we take seriously in order to meet the targets that have been set. Similarly, with the gender equality framework, there is a process of rollout. A gender dialogue was held in August. We have now established awards for outstanding women in the public service, and we also do have a public service women management week, and this was in August as well. And the honourable members will be aware that we established an 8-point action plan for HOD, which is the focus of that public service women management week. Now, finally, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister and Honourable Members, we want to go into what we call the barometer, which will say, well, what difference does all this kind of work that we do in the area of government administration make? The first one deals with audit outcomes, but I think what we need to do is we need to reach out to the community and to the current product of government. Especially in the light of operation three or the base from which that particular initiative is operating. We did include a column on the legislature, but this just gives us a sense of the audit outcomes for 2008-9 in terms of national departments, national entities, provincial departments, provincial entities, and legislatures. And obviously, what we see is, but if we look at the qualified audit, we see that 12 at national level in terms of departments, 20 at the entity level, 30 at provincial level, 27 at the entity level. And one legislature. And on the unqualified, we get a sense that. So these are the unqualified. Audits. But I think the next slide is useful because it does a comparison. It looks at national and provincial departments in 2008-9, as well as legislatures, and then 2004-5, it deals with national and provincial departments. And what we see is certainly we have an improvement, because in 2004-5, we had we see a deterioration. If we look at the national department, the number of qualified audits was 5 in 2004-5, but in 2008-9 it was 12. And then we see the unqualified with other matters, 25.2-27 in 2004-5, but in 2008-9, 25.5 at 20. I think where we see an improvement is at the provincial level, because in 2004-5, actually it's a deterioration as well. We had 63.164, and then 2008-9, 74.2-76. So I think it clearly shows that this is an area of challenge, and this is obviously why the Minister for Local Government says that they made a major focus area for municipalities over the next 5 years. And we obviously may need to consider that in other spheres as well, where there clearly is the room for some improvement there. And historically, it is a concern that we have a deterioration. So one of the areas where we see, or which leads to most of the qualifications taking place, the area of capital access is clearly a challenge. The area of revenue and expenditure to some extent is a challenge, but clearly it's management of capital assets is our major cause for concern in the national and provincial departments. In terms of the warning signal, where we have problems, management problems, if you like, identified by the Auditor General's report, human resource management clearly major area of concern, and hence our concern around compliance, which we discussed with the committee in many of our meetings. Information systems clearly major area of concern in the legislature as well, but in the national and provincial department. Non-compliance issues, clearly a lot of warning signals there, as well as material misstatements. So I think this is just to give an overview in terms of the areas of compliance qualifications and the areas where we need to be mindful going forward in order to improve or its outcome. In terms of non-compliance with the PFMA and Treasury regulations, prevention of fruitless and wasteful expenditure is an area of concern, but the 30-day payment is rarely an issue. I've heard the President pronouncing on this on several occasions. If we are going to promote small and medium enterprises, we really need to tighten up in this area. These businesses simply cannot sustain with long periods of delay, often for 9 months. And these businesses cannot survive, and the owners of these businesses cannot survive without these payments. I think it's really a major area of concern. And also, reporting now, as we know, performance information is becoming increasingly important, and during the current audit going into the next year, 2009-10, performance auditing is part of the main audit. So I think this table just tries to assist us in looking at some of the areas where we would need to comply in the area of performance. Information, compliance with regulatory requirements, the usefulness of reported performance information, and where performance information is not reliable, clearly technology. This is an area of concern for the committee, for the executive as well, for the administration. The fact that we simply are not getting the kind of compliance that we require in terms of financial disclosure. And instead of seeing the graph improving, we ultimately, if we do the comparison between 2005, 2006, where we had 73% compliance, we moved up to 85% compliance in 2006-07, but then we regressed to 80% compliance in 2007-08. And we can see that at a provincial level, the response in Guatemala compliance is an area of main concern. So I think this is an area that has been discussed frequently in the committee of work and culture, and is of a concern now. The PSC did more detailed work on this matter. They assessed how many national provincial CGs have submitted their form, and out of a sample of 47, only 30 have submitted their forms by 30% in 2008. So if DGs are only submitting at the level of 69%, it is an area of concern because the example is not being set. And then we can expect poor compliance by other senior managers. But it does also place the public service at serious risk. The responsibility in terms of public service regulation is with the executing authority. But at the same time, heads of departments do have a critical role to play in terms of advising their ministers, of ensuring that officials at lower levels of the internet are all compliant, and the indications of non-compliance. Now, the Commission also looks at the form. In a five-year period, 1999 to 2005, and the findings there are also significant. They found that there's a large proportion of SME owners who are involved in companies who have directorships and partnerships that could have a potential conflict of interest, and this ranged from 45% to 72%. During the period under review. There's also a risk which is identified in this report of the Public Service Commission around supply chain management, and that the procedures are not followed to the letter as required by legislation. Now, we believe certainly that this area is fundamentally important towards limiting the kinds of problems that came up in the recent Auditor General's report, which has been discussed by several committees of Parliament, that this area of supply chain management and compliance with the requirements is fundamental to picking up the conflict of interest, because that is the point at which the contracting is done through that process, and that's where we really need to tighten up in order to make sure that prevent the kind of conflict of interest that the Auditor General report spoke. So the report of the Commission does point to problems in this area that we need to be focusing on. I think this is an important slide from a number of different perspectives. This is the Public Service Commission's National Anti-Corruption Hotline, and it's been operational since 2004. We know that the President has, of course, recently launched a hotline, and I think one of the changes that the Honourable Minister refers to going forward will be a review of all the different hotlines and to see the best way of rationalizing and integrating these hotlines. But nevertheless, what we can see is a table which shows certain things. But I think if one looks at the trend analysis, unfortunately I don't have the slides there, but I want to point out to the honourable members that over the years we do see a decrease in the feedback coming from the party. So if we look at the first year, the year of inception, there were 597 cases where the hotline was phoned and the commission referred those cases to the department. 597, 428 cases they received back. Okay, which isn't too bad, it's not 100%, but you can at least see that there's serious work going on. 2008-09, 1,849 cases referred to the department, only 282. And I think it shows a general trend if one looks at that table, and I apologize for not putting it there, that there is a steady decline in the responsiveness of departments to complaints. And I think all these lessons with deconsolidation and strengthening the department will need to be taken into account. Now, this table here looks at the full period. From the inception of the hotline and 1st of September up until the present, and it looks at the major cases which have been reported to the hotline, from bribery, use of government resources, mismanagement of government funds, criminal conduct, and systemic irregularities. And these are the numbers of alleged acts of corruption in these categories that have been reported over the period. Of course, ideally, we would need to break this down, and we do have a breakdown which we can certainly share with the committee, which we would like us to, after the meeting, look at, which shows the trend over the years in these different categories as to whether they're going up or down, to see what impact the different programs of anti-corruption are having in the public service. A good indicator. Because it's not based on perception, these are real cases reported and investigated, and it helps us to really measure impact. This deals with misconduct of various forms between April and June. It's just one quarter of the year. Common law or statutory offence on premises might refer to different things, including smoking, that might be smoking on the premises, that might be assault or other things that could happen on the premises. Then we have absence from work, also quite high, failure to carry out an order or instruction, also quite high, failure to comply with an act or contravening an act, and so on. So we try to just give a sense of the kind of disciplinary cases which we currently have in the system in the public service. Now this one is an overall index of governance, just for interest's sake, which is the Ibrahim index on African governance, which looks at a number of different countries, and South Africa, since the inception of this, I think 9 years ago, of this particular instrument, South Africa has steadily been ranked at number 5. In the last review, Mauritius was number 1, but the table here just looks at South Africa in comparison to neighboring states, and does show that South Africa is second to Botswana in terms of this particular ranking system, but in the area of human rights and participation is the top rank, but I think maybe the area of concern would be in human development fields and so on, where South Africa is third behind Botswana.
think what may be of some concern is that we sort of have a straightening out of a curve. So at various points we certainly made improvements, and we have improved, there's no doubt, since December 2000, but we're not really meeting the target, and it's leveling out on the graph, which is the main point that we need to know and take into consideration through the time series graph. Yeah? Employment of people with disabilities, again, there is improvement once it points to since 2002 at 0.11%, but very far off the target, and again a leveling off in 2008 through to 2009. So we want to see the graph growing, it's actually leveling off. And we saw very well below the target, 0.22% as opposed to 2%. The salary band distribution here shows that we have a decline in salary level 1 to 2 between December 2006 and June 2009. It might show this way because there has been a tendency for departments to outsource some of the work that is often undertaken by employees at that level, so the team services, the services, and so on. That might explain the time there. The salary levels 9 to 12, the increases there might point to the fact that we are getting more skilled professionals into the public service, the movement from 10% to 13%. But it's just indicative of where we are in terms of the distribution of the salary band and the possible trend in terms of what's happening at the level of employees in the public service. The medical aid utilization is mainly trying to show that we have an increase in the uptake of medical aid by employees on the lower salary level. And this comes about through the introduction of GEMS. And this is an indication that we have increasing numbers of employees on the lower salary band who now have medical aid cover. Through GEMS, they are given a full subsidy. If they don't GEMS on those salary levels, they get a 100% subsidy on medical aid. That's on the lower benefit option. Sorry, not on all the benefit options, but if they register with the lower benefit option, then they get a full subsidy. On the other benefit option, they get a comprehensive subsidy, but not a full one. I think in terms of this graph, the clear issue here that within the band of 11 to 15 years, which is this area here, the public service experience levels have increased from 10% in December 2007 to 15% in June 2009, which is obviously a positive indication, which shows that we have more experience in the public service, which obviously we want to do. We want to retain public service and build experience. In conclusion, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister, and Honourable Members, we can say that there are a number of very important programs within the GMA cluster environment, the National Macro Reorganization of Government, Occupation Specific Expectations, the Data Collection and Revenue Enhancement, the Local Government Turnaround Strategy, Operation Team Audit, the CCA programs in critical areas. In other areas, we've seen that there is progress, but not in the way in which we would like to see it, because targets are not being met. This might be because of budgetary or capacity constraints. The governance indicators in some areas are positive, but certainly in the area of compliance, audit performance, there is cause for concern. Representativity targets, area for concern.
point is that government is about people. Government is people that take our affairs on our behalf. Then they should the tax to pay money to these things on our behalf because you can't do it for us. That's what we ate in the quotation of them. Now, what it means? It means we are going to change the role of the people. A major thing is that we must involve the people, whether direct or in a representative way, what is called participatory or representative democracy. So that people are not the takers, recipients of services who are waiting for government to come with a big part of their advocacy and deliver them. One change, it means when officials are a project, they must tell us how much is it going to involve the people, so that it becomes a people government. In a way, it's that. That's what we want to see changing. The second thing, the capacity, is an issue of saying, I discussed the Minister of Public Service. It's a project that the whole staff have already engaged in saying we must make government an employer of choice. Government, I mean, if you look at the local government, was almost 1.5 million people who are employed in the government. The biggest employer by any country. The reason for us not to be a fair choice was not to look at the matter. Now, once you look at the matter, where we say, what are the things that make people happy as a bird? You go to Vodacom. Vodacom gives people some cell phones. They say you get this time, you do this, and so on. You go on a holiday, you do this. Once you look at the order, what attracts people in an organization that you made that? We believe that was an advantage because of the numbers. The numbers on their own can be able to make up with municipalities to be able to ensure that we offer more benefits than any other person and also get the quality of the person that can gain skills. Therefore, the argument of saying that private sector can't compete with government is not true. It's a paradox. It's a paradox because we look at this thing only in a narrow way, in terms of the salary. We don't look at the way of subsidizing the salary in terms of benefits. If you go on holiday, if you go and buy a shop, all of this. We'll be discussing with the minister of the letter as well. That's right. Now, government, in our lifetime, is going to be a better choice. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you,
Honorable
Minister. I thank Mr. Before we can proceed, I would like to introduce the guest that are here with us, that have joined and the team of the Social Development Committee that are in the group that is currently in the Teachers Association. We are also among the authors of the Manaumi one and the Chapter of War Party of RCA. Another group, which is our guest, is a group from we are from Soweto and the Alexa, you have something. You are all welcome and we thank you for that. Okay, just considering, I think we got this conversation, we should really appreciate. Thank you very much. There's no way that all these issues can be done in silence. So, definitely our interpreters approach is still challenging. We still have a lot to do in many ways. Just two issues that I just needed to highlight. We will continue to look into how to meet talent and what are the impacts of the policy for us in terms of family. And it's not something that transmitted to the latent chip on the web that you see everything relating to the magnetic system. You know, on all the GPS system, you know, performance and so on. If you know, we can see that all of that could be used in order to ensure that every time we reach the magnetic system, we need to do a pencil intake. Everything that is actually happened to us and said to us, why we live in a particular kind of government that we're trying to do. You know, in order to make a better interest in terms of the locality. And this discussion continues to shape every direction in which we have to take as an observation from the presentation. But among other things, there's an issue which was came up quite clearly when Prof. Lavin talked about the issue of the HR, you know, the legal concerns, the HR, the I have an issue again around the issue of organogram, whether if the department is meeting with the organogram, that kind of coordination for us to know who, where, how is this department standing before we even get into the issues of HR, which we'll continue to talk about. There's an issue that came again under all the process of Mr. Africa talked about it just one minute of local government of COPTA. All these issues, including the women in senior management, you know, they actually talk to one issue, which is an issue that, you know, from public system administration, we have an institution that is responsible to provide the skills training para, you know, that role of implementation para and sending out that doesn't complement the kind of work that should be actually done. Well, I see a situation when we embark on this kind of training, maybe we need to start to really understand what kind of government are we for in the decision to be and to do that kind of change. And would I be telling you, Sarah, in terms of the decision that we tend to be will continue to work in terms of strengthening Sarah to meet that kind of expectation, what is something very clear in terms of what is civilization. And when you talk about the anti-corruption strategy, the issue of other places do come into play, like the security class, which therefore shows how important it is for that coordination. And there are many more issues that I wouldn't really get into. They will unfold when we discuss the input in the world. We are going to take a break after the outline list and get our tea and come back for a discussion. But surely we do also from competition and institutional and FISA, you know, a state information and security agency that continue to talk about which when we do the presentation, can see how much is required in terms of improving the public service administration that comes. I'm glad that Mr. Sima was here, one of the people who are not only in the FISA assessment, the only one who became the CEO for 5 years, but we never got that kind of space from the rest of other people who have a huge turnover and all that. But those are some of the things that complement one another. We talk about synergy when we had our first planning session, we talk about the synergy because of the institutions that are existing that can assist to impact in terms of our progress. So these are some of the things that we challenge us to then talk to that synergy, talk to that information and recommend better questions. Of course, the PSMA professor Levin talked about it, the negative impact on the economy. It means a lot for us. You know, that is the entry level for the majority of our citizens who are, you know, who are not trying to enter the economy. It's a big thing. And in which we can be here and see hope that it was if it would be non-compliant, what does it mean? The minister talks about whom he wants to serve, what kind of the government, you know, the, you know, that is the policy, instead of what we do for, you know, those are all the issues that come together. But in the conclusion, the mass really, and also talk about the participation of democracy. Those are the things that as the community of continuous reform to engage with, you know, whatever end of the day we want to do, producing your people's government, and cannot be achieved only by the world, by action. So, all of the numbers, ladies and gentlemen, I think now we can see that we've now moved across breaking some of these elements into small pieces of areas that we want to interact with. This is a start. network which is proven that we can now take a 10 or 15 minutes break to just tea and water, and then we can say, I know that most persons are quite aged and people are going to and the teacher going to allow them to interact with them for the now. Can I then stay around this? Let's take a break and come back in tomorrow.
Not unless I need to be cool. because corruption is corruption. I know the deeper was crime or whatever, but surely we need more than this. The outcome is not very clear as to say what is the outcome of that of those people. Have they been prosecuted? What has happened? Because I don't want our government to be alarmed without the outcome of that. Can I get more information clarity? If it's possible, maybe things so that people get scared. Open about them, the tools that empower our regions and everybody else to deal with this matter. Use what some tools, for instance, the PSOA, what if they take their own, surely they are financial education to that particular individual, equal to those who are supposed to defend our society. I think there is a time, Chairperson and our minister, they must take off their gloves. Because I don't want our government to be seen as a liability to those who are lawbreakers. Because we are massacring. And there are some sympathies now for those who are not supposed to enter this kind of thing. So I'm saying there are some tools that our senior managers must use them effectively so that we get rid of this. Because if they look generally, there is that kind of corruption is rising in Africa and so on. And yet, this has been done in terms of the outcome. Even if we are recanting people that you have committed crime and there are corruption, we have a proper outcome. And we want there also some figures to that end, both in terms of that itself and also the prosecution by court. I think I've made my point on that issue. So I am not really happy with the manner in which we are dealing with this issue of global support or the factual market interest in that. Only when I don't have this in mind, the one thing in our family that says that you are only seeking to politicians. But when it comes to people who are lawbreakers, who are silent, it's only here and there where you can see that the politics finality. So say, let us be appreciated. I'm referring. I'm a photo of the city is part of the home of it when we are doing this matter. I know the challenge is very huge and you can't bring it overnight. But surely where they come, they do make a feedback. There are those who are not really making that kind of feedback. But I'm saying there's still room to improve for improvement in home affairs. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, let me make a follow-up to the OSC issue and hoping that the response on this issue will help us as members of Parliament in doing our contribution as a part, wherever we move, wherever we meet people in constituency, especially police, teachers, and nurses. The question from them is that we are hearing about this OSP. When is this going to be implemented to us? We hear it in other countries. What is happening? That's what I'm saying. The response in this will help us. The third point is on nature of cases reported in that class. Whereas there is information which was not necessarily reported, only figures. And I heard the representative saying that if there were cases reported, but in terms of action after those reports, then there's very little that is coming. So the question that I have is, what has been done as a result of the cases that have been reported and no action that has been taken by the head of the department where these cases were reported? I think it's important for us to get what is that as a result. The other point, Chair, is that also a follow-up on anti-corruption. Really, I think very important for us. And then this is the second truth. What is the content of these topics? Because I cannot be employed to do a particular record. I mean to look at a particular property. Because if I'm employed as a senior manager, obviously I have to look at wrong things that are happening there, and I must know what kind of action that I have to take in if something wrong is happening to that. What are these problems? What do I mean? This will be one, a waste of resources. If you're not taking action to people who are involved in corruption and then would decide to take them into public. The last point, Madam Chair, will be on the civil public service. I think one would love to get started with what comes first, but I have the presentation making reference to the fact that this was tabled in Parliament in 2008 and was dropped for further consultation. And at the same time, for it to go to NEDLAC. Which one is it? Because the NEDLAC, it will be your social partner who are going there. Not everybody goes there, but it's representative of the social partner. What will make it to go back to NEDLAC now? If then the only issue that was going to come for is to ask for attention. Thank you very much.
Talking about the leadership and management development program. I noticed that you're supposed to train, according to the 518 senior managers in the executive development program. Now it's October, the 1st of November, in 2017. Short form of call. What are the obstacles? If I'm correct, I think it's the road fund, which is being recorded for my farm. What is the problem with that institution? I saw, I think, a year or two ago, a lot of DDC tools helping the advertising and so on. What are they doing? They are not helping. That's such a background. Are they outsourcing training or training for themselves? Can we get a briefing on an assessment of that institution? That's the third question. The second one relates to Home Affairs. I want to check if there are any discussions taking place between Home Affairs and other security ministers. You can expect that many have claimed that our borders are too corrupt, sometimes not even guarded. I'm raising this because drug trafficking and human trafficking is becoming an international stage. And maybe we must expect worse on human trafficking and even drugs as a run up to 2010. Where we might sit up with a lot of young girls having been deceived to come into South Africa, and then after 2010, you sit with thousands of them would be exploited So, any discussion at that particular level to look into this particular question. And I'm raising it because this question of international syndicate in these two areas is becoming a serious problem. Are we looking into this question? other part shall led by the president, led by the president of that party, in the first pronouncement on government program, there has been an issue of doctrine at one of our key priorities. Now, would you be able to identify the areas where services, government services have been outsourced? Which are those areas? How do you quantify the jobs there? These are the where they have been outsourced. How is that reconciling with the job creation? If you are going to outsource it, I mean, this, you know, outsourcing means one simple thing. You know what it means? It means you outsource that activity. Whoever is getting the business will cut the cost, half the workers, poor payment and so on, poor conditions. That's what it means. But this fight is of the job creation. Which areas of the public service that have been outsourced? We want to get that information. The last one is it's on the voting outcome. What have you done with the entities and the departments where they have been claimed? This business is useless. Or what has been done where they have been claimed? Because something must also be done where they are qualification. Maybe you can talk about improvement, but disclaimer means chaos. What has been done? And very interesting, which is this department, national department, and quite national entities that were not reported on, and why we don't get those reports? Because there's one national department, and there are quite national entities where they are not reported. What was the reason? We don't want to make assumptions and we make wrong assumptions. And I think this is in line with what my honorable members of colleagues are saying. We seem to be diagnosing one very fundamental issue. And if you speak the bit you are talking about, non-compliance in terms of the CSMA, what has been done? How do we allow something to continue to happen? At what stage are we going to be hard and discipline the people in government? And you're talking about senior people, they should not be claiming.
Thank you,
My question, I didn't know if it's perfect. On page 7, on the issue of e-government. Now, I think since it started happening, the first time I can remember, it has been e-government. But for some reason or the other, it doesn't appear as though there is development or progress. There's always, for some reason or the other, a delayed process that come up. And one of these that is currently in effect is the issue of tender. Now, are there no time frames that are actually aligned as to when do you actually get to resolve these issues? And what are the cause of the delays of these tender processes? Because I think, like you have mentioned, there are certain aid processes in place and other legislation in place that actually indicate how tender processes are supposed to be done. But every time for some reason or the other, you don't see progress in anything concerning the government. Then, in relation to 9, to slide 9, or page 9, around the issues of, I don't have a problem with the way general representation is indicating percentages. But percentages tend not to give a true picture of our understanding in terms of what are the numbers concerned in achieving our targets. If the figures could be indicated and an indication also given as to how vast is the problem and what exactly needs to be done to
to resolve some of the issues. Like, for example, where there's an issue of filling of vacancies, and it's just for filling of vacancies, these issues, etc. To get 16 responses received, or at least one reported that one post has increased within 12 months. That sounds like poor progress to me. So, what certain issues do you need to find the reason? Is this good or bad, or what are the reasons related to that? And then on the issue of the single public service, Honorable Minister also indicated that it doesn't seem like we are presenting our issues, the agency of the single public service, and having it emphasized, especially in Parliament, for us can progress on it. I'm saying this because I think most of the problems we're also experiencing in the public service would be minimized if the single public service issues are actually attended to diligently. One of the areas is the area of training in the public service. It has already been mentioned as what Alama is doing. Now you ask yourself, there's also skills development and human resource development areas that are being worked on. And what about the finish in relation to that? Is there any finish that is being indicated in us having one single training area? Because you then end up asking yourself if the priorities that Alama is using are they related to the priorities that are being used in government. And how do we measure our results as of this? Then also, this whether the indication of percentages again, in terms of the targets related to recruitment, employment, and retention of women, disabled people, etc. There also is a percentage indicated, but there's no hint or picture as to how close are we in terms of our plans or expected employment equity plans. You know, this is what we should be aligning ourselves into in the public service. If you give percentage to the way that's even there, it doesn't really tell you if you're resolving a problem or not, or how urgent is the problem. Then, on page 11, the training of second and third managers, etc. Now, my question there is this based on an overall needs assessment or only of what has been received in terms of reports? And how do you then monitor as to whether the relevant targets are being reached or is that training has been effective for the executive development program? Because many a time we find that in departments people are set for training, but we hear nothing of a follow up or a feedback as to the progress or the improved capacity that is made visible in the department. Then finally, my one question is that in relation to Home Affairs, the relationship with the Tucson Center, many a times we find that problems that our students are experiencing are actually in the actual center. What monitoring or evaluation systems do they have in place, or at what interval do they actually visit this place? We've seen recently that the minister has said that this is one of the Home Affairs departments. What is the, in particular, the people from Home Affairs doing to ensure that there's a decline in the types of problems that you are experiencing? We know that there are challenges in home in Tucson centers, but how do they then finish with people from the Tucson centers to ensure that there's an improved service to the body? If we could have also then have an opportunity where at some stage or the other we have a financial management figure with the maturity model presented to us in detail so that we have a clear understanding as to what is required within that document and how best can we then be able to involve the cluster to actually start instituting our oversight role. Thank you.
Then, on who has never wanted good, good, bad, but never is bad, who doesn't have a team card, would go to a home market office and they will say, in order for us to assist you to get an ID, you become either to your best patient case or your team card. This woman is about 55 years old and she has to go there. And like people in her mind is like, I'll never get an ID. Meaning what she's got children. Means the children will never have IDs also. Her children have got their own kids. Those kids will never have the self-support grants they're supposed to get from government. They don't have that certificate. They'll never be able to access an IDP house. That's a better life for her in their way. Not because of the ANC, but because of the officials that we are getting. Through the turnaround crisis, like the COVID has said, what is standing around there? Where is the better life for this person? And that's the late registration of that. She's still out there, and there are so many of them who cannot access the services because of an ID. And it takes on a lot of people. Then on local government, the MFMA is saying cancer that I'm not supposed to be participant of the program. And here there's the municipal manager, there's the CFO, they've got their own company. And they sit in the tender board. They take decisions there. Did they disclose their financial status to say, yes, we do have company? They sit in there, they make decisions that the municipal manager takes the final decision of what the company is intended to do. Then what do we do? Then we come again to another minister, the signing of the performance management of municipal managers and their directors. They are not signing it. We cannot come here to pretend that they are signing good performance systems. They are not signing. Then what do you do? And they are earning, even every year they get payment for performance. That was never very in bonuses. That was never going to end very, and they would like to increase their salaries to another level. You'll have a municipal manager spending a million rand in a level 3 municipality. Then what do we do? Professor Levine, the Human Resource Development Implementation Plan. And how do we make sure that the implementation plan is implemented? Because you might write, some people are looking right, you might develop this very good document with reference and everything, with research, we have research and that. How is it going to be implemented, or when is it going to be implemented? Because we have that plan, the plan will never be implemented. And on the 0.2% of the employment of disabled people, I don't think we have to discuss this again. This must not come back to our committee or to parliament. We cannot afford to see this. When was the law put in place to say, at least the government will come back 2%. But here we cannot reach the 2%. And like the public service at the department is that we have the 2% in the department now, in its own department, before it could oversee that other departments are complying. That is it. Because we cannot afford this. It always comes and we have to discuss it. Then we have to, we are not improved. What are they doing? They are saying that when they drop access water document, and they were discussing the drop access document with whom, because whoever was giving them information to them said, in order for you to employ people with disabilities to do this, concerns organization of people with disabilities. You should put through everything to get them. What are they doing to get people with disabilities? Writing a document, sitting with it in your office, this some provincial offices that distinguish the relevant target. Who is the target? The target is the disabled person. Did the disabled person get that document? No. Is it written in brain? No. How is a deaf person going to get that document? Because the disabled is inside. And they said they were screening of a frontline officer. Are they being sent also to sign? Because a deaf person will come to whatever office, Home Affairs office, or any other office, a municipal office. Is that person going to get help? Because they say, no, everybody will say, Kim Mama, I don't know the there will be no one to be able to sign for that person. And so that person is denied basic rights and basic
status.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Towards the end of the presentation, the Director General gave us a very nice founding slogan, You Use, You Pay. The question is whether this implementable. I'm asking the question because before we got this beautifully sounding slogan, we're giving a very shocking report that the municipalities in our country are owed a staggering sum of money in the region of 50 billion. Now it leads to a bigger cycle where the communities in the municipalities are up in arms demanding delivery of services. But the municipalities themselves are owed over 50 billion. How is this delivery of services ever going to happen under the circumstances? The presenter was saying it was the last time he checked that it was about 53 billion. Possibly today it was 55 billion, it could be 62 billion, it is escalating. What is going to happen and what impact is it having? One thing of ex-components who would like to increase the tariffs by 45% over the next 3 years. Now, is ESCOM recovering from these ratepayers who are owing such a special amount of money? And will it be easy for ESCOM to recover once 45 times 3 has been improved? So how are we getting out of this? I know some municipalities are running very big overdrafts, which is not an answer. Some are entering into deep loans, which is also not an answer. So I don't know whether we are eventually going to write off 63 billion or we are going to recover it somehow. That is a good question.
Thank you. I'm sure
we
share the questions that we should have to be discussed. I'm handing over to the DC for the DC.
Well, these issues are raised among the knowledge and the different, and I think the colleagues, in terms of the issues, they are able to put in effect where they are. I will talk about the issues more and then to the lower. The first one is the issue of the change of the past. And then we are changing the plan to the end of the region. The reason being that these unconscious to follow the system. These unconscious are because there are three tiers of government that are distinct, that are autonomous, interrelated, and independent. The only way you approach this is a municipality, an executive committee is a source of that. You can't then call it a different one. It bothers us in the well as from about the Supreme saying that this was committed because we believe that there are a lot of benefits in terms of the knowledge that we share between the community of the country and so on. Well, one of the key things that we are making very is that in South Africa, we must move to a situation where we say one country, one president, one person. This thing of 101 system of conservation of systems, it benefits the service provider than benefiting government. But if you have two systems that are accessible and accessible to the city, wherever, whether you are in Mokina or you are in Karoo, it becomes safe. It makes me feel. Now, the framework was heavy in the world war. Now, however, there are a lot of challenges. It has been great for me and them today. What kind of stuff? The speaking of the age. On that issue, what we have discovered is that this matter, before it came to Parliament, was not sufficient in being support. Like, for instance, you find that the Department of Provincial and Local Government was not engaged properly on the matter. The staff was not engaged properly. Some was not engaged sufficiently on the matter. And so then it was that all the unions that we see that they were supposed to be taken for more than this. And our belief is that we must be able to resolve things, we must not use network. In the structure where you set that discussion. We must be able to resolve this somewhere. When we go to make it, the question of really engaging in a new way. Therefore, say, we have agreed that we are taking this process up on making money and so on, we are committed to it, but let's ensure that we value South African hands. The team of that, because these are two sides of the same coin, is the review of the, what we call the macro reorganization of the in terms of looking at all the functions of all spheres of government, looking at the role of provinces, should they continue to exist or not, looking at the two-tier system of the country in terms of the district and local municipalities and what we have. We believe that every center of this, every level of that, is the reorganization of the state. When we talk about the two processes of integrated processes, it's a specific area. You have a situation where, on the other hand, the Department of Health talks about taking the power away from municipalities to the province and reallocating. You have the Department of Transport talking about taking the transport function from the provinces up and then delegating them to the network because they can run their own transport. You go to a situation where the people in energy, they talk about taking the power away from the municipalities in relation to energy provision in South Africa and up. Now, you can see these things at hand in a side way. They are not related. Now, we are saying that we must have the risk of a macro development of the state. What we are able to see is the people better from the center. That's all we are supposed to do now. We are proof. So that it is integrated, it is holistic in a way that is done. And then from there, there are those discussions that are going on and on, and you'll be taken on board for the very important stakeholders in the process, key ones. The other issue there is the issue of the people that need to look at the problem. Once you answer this question, you need to be able to say whether they are fair. The other issue that has been raised is the issue of the turnaround. One of the major things that we must be able to do as parliamentarians is to ensure that departments give us real-time information. Most of the time, the information that is provided is inaccurate. And decisions are taken on inaccurate information. We discovered that when we do this terrorist, this assessment of the social problem. That the issue of sitting in the office of the executive report, people always write a wrong report. There's a different time in the world. Even people who were the general of the
They will know that when they go to the court, they don't know how to do this, they don't know how to do this, they don't know how to do this.
Now, when we are on the ground, two promises to make an example, it is not. It says, no, we always knew that our people were wrong with us.
Yeah.
If your Bible department, the Bible says, you can't be accepted to this decision, all the points that you have to do.
Now, that's why we chose to say, this is what we on the ground, so that we are able to provide for this information. Manager, not focus on that. In terms of what we care about, what we're living on that. When we see a situation where people understand the challenge of the crowd, they must move away from the air conditioning process to be at the front line of service in terms of what it is. When we talk about something, you monitor also, not the end of the process. Now, very, very soon, we got a shocking information on the state of the community. Clearly, on the basis of that, we are then looking at how to turn the situation around. You know what is the problem, no? How to ensure that you are able to address those challenges or problems. It is not the issue that we turn around. And this turn around is going to be something we will want all sorts of things to come to mind. And we are saying that the approach of few people taking decisions because we have the majority of us want that to be done away. Involve people their solutions because they know their problems. Not few people who think they're more better. Now, the turn around is this, you're applying on the program and so on, and you want to make sure that two things are addressed to the next. One, National Government Department must have between January and March. Where are these people in the center of the world? So that is set a thing in the IDP. We are saying, if it is not in the IDP, we can't do it. Forget it. We are not doing it. The ICTs are supposed to be like a Bible to the Christians, are supposed to be like a Torah to the Jews, and a Quran to the Muslims. That's everybody must know, everybody must know. Now, that's what we are going to do. We live with addressing the issue of faith, but this is the nearest Christian prayer by everybody, including the state on the Bible. Because the response is the only one. Every square kilometer in South Africa or colonies is under the influence. Therefore, whatever is in the hand, even by the temple, is done in the influence. Therefore, it is important that those plans are approved and agreed upon by the influence. And the process of which we are addressing is a different issue that we are addressing in this process. It's an issue of the public participation. What is about it? Well, we have very clear outlines about what is together and so on. And therefore, we'll get the information. I'm not going to be that very much, but we'll get the that in the city of Africa. South Africa must still pass your card. They must look at the details and demobilize the citizens. They must affect the citizens. And that takes us to the issue of a phenomenon. Laws are passed by Parliament, you find that most of the time are not implemented. Not only implemented, but in the regulation. And Parliament doesn't know what is happening. Our view is that Parliament must begin to call the department to come and say, well, pass this law, what is the implementation plan of the law? So that every law that is passed, you are able to reflect in the And most of the time, you find that laws are passed. That's one of the big problems. Supply chain, corruption, and so on. It's a lack of information. Let's take the department of the public system and the trade. Can you tell me why a person doesn't take time to cover? Why do you take it in a diplomatic way, in a way? Because people in the company are supposed to take time to cover and discover. It is going to show that this is stupid. That doesn't require change management. The place was it. You are involved in government, you close your interest, if you don't, you must do it. Now, we make it look difficult, come on, consultants, turn around to go. The other thing is on the issues of, because the public, I mean, the other member, they say that very, that you also agree on the issues of
official appointed the Commission of Human who must come and do the work of government. It will be a full of the that is all but we with the Minister of Public Service and the Auditor General. That is the duty of the to go and ask them what has been done to the report of the Auditor General amongst other things.
You can't get a situation where you move in and you know that you're going there. But also on lots of things that are raised in the where you find that department are moving, the president is given as money, very good, act on this. And what will act the president on this matter? So the government is beginning. If you don't want to be the president for sure, one of the things that we are thinking of is that do we need businesses to be government?
Yes.
Don't you choose that if you want to be a public servant, you have to be a citizen. If you want to be a businessman, you want to be a businessman or businesswoman. It's something that was engaged upon today. That's why we're talking about the entire of course. That the issue of spreading the people must be called. Also, it must be incentive, benefits, and so on. And it must be attractive to other people. Now, those are questions that we're discussing there on this one, looking at the change of things. Now, we are saying that Parliament is a force. Very clear. He oversights in those days in a way that is technical, that is supposed to be played. And we think that he must be able to really pull up the top of the house and begin to deal with the system. The issues of the system vendor. We have agreed in principle that people of centers are going to run by the Department of Cooperative Government and whatever. Very bad. Because those factors are the face of cooperative government. They put the three scales of government under one. That's what we call cooperative government. The Department that will be given by the President is that. The Department of Home Affairs. The Minister of Resident issue that is put in the corner there. In the United States, who are not care about it. Important departments must be given the resources required in the head of the state. Because the woman says, very good. If you need to do from death to death, if you are able to get a million, the woman says, very good. Therefore, it must be able to do the state that is important. What we are doing now. We are just, they have a human audit on this to come find out and so on, then we'll be able to where the date on that, not the one. And the issues of tender and officials, I'll say that here, council was moved, agreed, but corruption continues unabated. It never stopped. Now, one of the things that, of course, most organizers don't see in the tender committee, the report will get the report to take the from those supply chain structures. We are looking at this area to say what is fine to do. So it's an area that comes to fight. There are two things that are going to fight in the government. One is employment, the second one is employment. Employment of employment, why that these people are even violating the law. Because the law says in chapter 15 that you can employ as a company, an informal manager in you know that these people are supposed to be employed by the Minister of Agriculture. But after that, we said that now, I don't know. We want to employ the Minister. Everybody was a woman who was a car man going on. Well, that's it. Now, one thing is to show that law, the Parliament talks about the enforcement of law, that the Parliament is not looking at this to ensure that the law are enforced. And I can tell you, secondly, 50% of our problems would be dealt with. It's all the regulations of law and policies regulation. And a lot of things will go away. And these laws are very good, they are beautiful, but they are not implemented. Now we want to ensure that it's focused. I want to conclude by saying from our side, of truth, the signing of the government was looked at the payment of one of these things is when it came up. At the 14th of the 14th. We are saying that it's not going to happen. And we will try to look at where the money is going to be. I think about the 15th and the 20th.
change and video what time it is. But I'm attempting to say, some people in some countries, they feel that the minister must not come to their own area, to their own department. If they do monitor it, it becomes a problem. And we're not going to allow that situation, because when we talk to you here, we must talk to something, because you know that is the best. The last one is not an issue of 50 billion. Yes, about 1 5. We are saying what is the local new approach. If you recall, in particular, the water of all Makakan countries, which was saying that encouraging rights and responsibility. That company was about valuing for assets. I mean, the explanation that I could give, why it was abandoned. And the culture of 19 is perfect. That's what we're doing right now. Now, we are saying they want to turn that around, but you can only turn around if you work with the citizens of the country. They must know that if you get water, it doesn't come from both countries. There are processes of cleaning it and so on and so on before you get to you must take it. If you get a city, you must take it. And then the same has that problem. Now that's why they will say, you need to fix. We want to change the situation around in this situation so that it's a good. The most serious thing is that the government departments are old. When they are supposed to be taking support and pressure in them, they are undermining it. By not saying, but it's good. Now we are just repeating that they have to take it to cabinet at the end of this month and say who is owing and this is something that everybody is owing in part of the government. Say, is it a company to say, of course we engage and look at the situation of citizens. Now I'm saying that the problem is we are calling upon all of you who come to the party. These matters cannot be addressed by a company or by government before. It requires all of us. From all facts and all facts that must contribute to the government itself. That's our view for now. And my colleague, Ahmed, let me go.
And I look at the very concern of the people of the
well, I won't name a danger. This is the embarrassing.
The information is up in the staff, we will excellent to get more. Can you then present me with the service to look for certificate at the end of the community?
Thank you, Honourable Minister, and Honourable Members. I will add to more specifically to some of the covered areas that have been gone through by the Minister. There were issues raised about whether the cooperation or not with other departments that are involved in security. And these would be the police, NICOC, and state security department, staff, etc. The Home Affairs is a member of the JCPS cluster. We use the acronym in terms of the chief joint justice crime prevention and security cluster. At those meetings, in those clusters, we have indeed discussed the issues that have been flagged here, such as human trafficking and the problem of crime. We meet frequently, we exchange notes, we discuss common strategies against different types of crime. So yes, the Department of Home Affairs is very centrally involved in the discussion of the issues that are being talked about. We are currently discussing strategies around issues of human trafficking, specifically in anticipation of what might happen when 2010 World Cup happened. We had trained our officers on the invasion path to to look out for, particularly what to look out for in terms of these issues of human trafficking. But there are a range of things that involve corporate human partners. Let's put on the agenda of the day-to-day structure and there is room for improvement. We are looking at developing a better integrated information technology system in which we have a common single view of a person coming to the country. And at the moment, you might have information about a person from an immigration perspective, but that information is not available to start to look at issues of drugs and so on. So any means of this to develop this system, I do not know funds and other plans and anything that should come into operation. With respect to some centers, I think Minister has explained some of the discussions that are taking place. But in particular, one would like to say here is that we're discussing issues of poor service delivery by ourselves, by the people we employ, by frontline officers. We are very acutely aware of this problem and have taken and continue to take measures to reduce this. And it's a range of things that are done. Training, sometimes to be searching for a training. I think we must train and continue to train people, recognizing that some of the people want to do things, not because they are untrained, but because the attitude is wrong. And then address that as well. How do you deal with people who commit wrong? For instance, everybody who has name tags. If they are not displaying the name tag, which is enabling the member of the public to engage with us and others with phone numbers to say a particular individual was rude. When a staff member is not wearing a name tag, we have agreed that the person is going to be responsible to take the fault for that is the supervisor, because it's their responsibility to make sure that people do wear name tags. Our colleague in this department, I think it's a little broader than us, unfortunately, is that of effective management. It is clear what the bridges are, but the, I think part of the training must be for people to understand that when you penalize or sanction a person who is not performing to their contract, it's not a personal thing. Is something that must be done. The emphasis must be on that, but people who fail to do those things, then ultimately the tension is that we must find the pattern of ways. I think there are issues that involve corruption, measurement, how do you measure success against corruption? Well, grapple with that. Is it a number of people that are up there because they have committed corruption? I think it's one indicator, but it is also putting in place systems that make it very difficult for the corrupt to access certain information. I think it's part of the tool. It is a proper indexing of the files and documents in such a way that you can already trace a document issued to a particular individual. There is a whole number of things that we are trying to implement to deal with the issue of corruption. And the fact that we continue to say that we have not succeeded yet, but you can be sure that we are mindful of these things and are looking ways of dealing with them. We can say with some pride that we have put out of action some 400 people in the past 18 months or so. But the more we take out, and the more will come, it can be very frustrating. It's keeping what is prevention, maybe not the very best, but ideally, we should have good people who don't see or corrupt. Ideally, we should also have a in terms panel to address the Honorable Mohammed's question. The major decision of the program can be a frustration. This is a huge program that is dealing with the unknown. How many people are not there? One needs to find out to estimate if there are 1 million of them in the country. It's not easy to establish that, just as it is not easy to know how many people are living in this country without documents, because you don't know, they never came to us to take documents. So in addressing this problem, and the minister has been visiting a lot of children, Sydney children in the Tonga district in the KZN, should say, to look at ways of tackling a really large problem. And it involves improving the current system, because we also need to be very mindful of any many people are trying to place into the system, into the population register. These are people who are a heavy drain if they are not entitled to these things. On the social benefits like the taxpayers, including the most vulnerable persons, provide for. So when they get into the social grants, assistance programs, pension programs, and I'm telling you, you're talking about thousands of people who illegally get into those systems because they're not vaccinated. People who get into our health facilities, education, all of which are provided at no cost. It is important that measures are taken to stop those kinds of people from doing this, and that's part of what creates a problem for the later decision of that system. Nonetheless, we are looking at how best to improve the system in such a way that the many people who suffer should not suffer. The question that may be asked, or the person is not educated to show the primary school certificate, that's the silliness of the art of the teacher. Sometimes people may not be Christian or any way situated in religious work, and who therefore cannot help but feel it. It takes understanding and moving on those things to then still find things that will help. We use informants, and these are supposed to be good law spending, of good spending in communities, to confirm that the claim that is made by certain current legislation is true. A lot of the time, the affidavits that are given are false, so that it comes from people who are in case, police force, after ourselves. They start this problem in society right now, which complicates the effort that is being made. So we need, as we improve our services, to balance that against disadvantage and making sure that people who are not to come into the system are kept out of the system. In terms finally of things that are measurable. The specificity, the question around 10 alarm programs and so on, is our targets, our indicators, are supposed to enhance in our structure and group the document that's available to honorable MCs. We say we will produce a task force within 3 weeks. And if we fail to do that, it can be helped. It's quite specific. We will have an ID out in less than 40 days, provided 17 can place. And if the experience, which is that different, then we are measured around that. And there's no bonus or anything for people who don't have that kind of thing. There are targets that are not easy to measure, but the corruption that one talks about, you know, the number of people that you pass. It's good that you do it, but does it mean that you reduce corruption? How is that not just the people that are issues of staff morale? You must raise the morale of staff, that you can put them in proper places with a good looking field, provide provides basic conditions where people can work differently. But how to do any of this is succeeded in raising staff morale. But we still have to start. So I'm saying to honorable members that far, far from perfect, but we're not unaware of the challenges and doing what we can that would be commitment, and we will welcome any suggestions that is good to the government.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Minister and Members. Thank you for the question. I actually thought it might be useful to start with the issues you raised, Chairperson, because you did raise a number of issues. And the Minister in part responded to that when he made his input on the single issue. So if we did ask about the relationship between public service and local government when it comes to systems of HR management, which of course is a fundamental objective of the single public service or integrated public service, is to ensure that we have a common system, and I think the Minister certainly emphasized that in the input he gave. But it would be important to say that we do work very closely with culture through the cluster and into departmental on matters pertaining to HR management in the different spheres of government. So for example, in the area of field auditing, we cooperate closely with them. But ultimately, we would want to see a situation where we have a common framework of human resource management norms and standards through the initiative of the single integrated public service. You also asked about the submission of organograms. And maybe the way to answer that is to just give the situation as it is, that with the decentralized framework, we picked up a problem around organizational structure. So we went to Cabinet, and Cabinet agreed that the Minister for Public Service should issue a directive, which would make it compulsory for departments that are reorganizing restructuring their organograms to send it for concurrence to the Minister for the Public Service and Administration. And this has been happening since 2006. But if you restructure these below a certain level, this is not required. Now, maybe why I'm mentioning this is because I think this committee, when we eventually deal with the legislation around the single and integrated public service, it's going to be very important that certain choices are made, and obviously this committee is the key driver. And I mention this also in relation to the questions that have been raised around anti-corruption. And the Honourable Member has indicated that there are tools within the PFMA, there are also tools within the Public Service Act. The issue is of a strong enough. When we amended the Public Service Act, we actually tried to strengthen those tools. So, for example, when it came to disciplinary cases, in the past, a public servant could resign, and effectively that disciplinary case would disappear off the book, and then they could rejoin another department. Since the Act has been amended, this is no longer possible, because immediately a public servant joins another department, there would be an obligation to continue with that disciplinary process. Now that's one small measure. We actually did come with more substantial recommendations in terms of the
legislation, but in discussion with other, some of the other stakeholders, the Commission, the Public Service Commission, some of those measures were taken up. Treasury, for example, or finance, recently also had proposals around having a central investigative capacity within the Treasury, as we had proposed within the Department of Public Service, to try and deal with these matters. The problem in the area of public service is that the Commission does have a mandate for it. Now, I think these are matters I mentioned, Honourable Chairperson, because we would need to focus very closely on them when we amend the legislation going forward. Well, not amend it, when we actually come up with a new legislation going into the future on the single or integrated public service. It will be very important that we consider these matters. You also raised questions which the DG of Commerce has responded to, which I think is always important for us to take into consideration, is that when we talk about anti-corruption, there's the prevention element and there's the combating element, and then there's the overall strategy. The GMA is responsible for the overall strategy and the prevention, but obviously the combating takes place more with the justice. Such as the DG of Commerce has pointed out. But within the public service, I think it's been made clear by the Minister as well that departments and provinces, provincial departments must act. And I think the initiative to go on the provincial visits and get a response on the Auditor General's report is very, very important. We do believe we must keep bringing the matters to Parliament, even if you are unhappy with us for doing so, because we believe that over time we must come up with a collective response, and that's why we keep bringing the information. We need to use whatever teeth we have, but we need to engage with other branches of government and other stakeholders like the Commission to make sure that the action is taken. Because these matters are decentralized, the responsibility, the direct responsibility for intervention is with individual ministers, individual heads of departments. There were a couple of questions on the role of Palama as well. The Honourable Nancy, I think, is left now, but anyway, Chairperson, we also raised questions around that. Perhaps he indicated that some of the GDG posts have been advertised. Maybe that has led to Palama being a bit too top-heavy rather than being able to be more operational in terms of the actual training that is required. And there was another question I'll try and respond to them in a more integrated way as possible about the anti-corruption training. It is, we would argue, very important that these training courses go ahead. There's different training courses accredited at different entry levels, 4, 5, and 6. They deal with manifestations of corruption, understanding conflict of interest, the governance structures, understanding ethics, and so on. And I raise this in relation to Palama because there are other countries, for example, India. Any public servant that comes into the public service must write an examination. They must undergo training and write an examination. And that's why the induction program in our system as currently is very important. Because often the basics are simply not known about public service. You might see someone coming in with a PhD or a master's, and they just come in, but they don't really know in detail what the code of conduct is, for example. And that's why the training is important in the fight against corruption. The questions on the OAC, Honourable Chairperson, there was never a specific occupational-specific dispensation for police. There are occupations within the police force which are covered by the OSC. It may be a gap. There is a big tension there, and dilemma for the minister, because of course in the area of police, determinations are made by the Minister of Police in consultation with the Minister of Public Service. The dilemma there is the question raised by the Honourable Nancy, which is also a big dilemma generally for the public service. Do you focus on salary? Do you focus on job creation? And how do you balance, especially in the current economic crisis, against other priorities, like improving the social grant system, extension of the child support grant, as an example? In terms of the money available in the fiscus, where do you put your priorities? So I think that is a general dilemma. But let's say that we didn't give a full table on the OEC, and we certainly could give more information, but education was raised, and I'm not backing into stories, this is not intentional. Education is being implemented in two phases. The first phase was implemented in 2008, but there were a number of outstanding matters, particularly around recognition of experience and recognition of performance. Now, an agreement was signed in August, and that led to a search for the funding. The funding was not found. However, subsequently to that, during the medium-term budget process, there was some additional funding which was found, and the agreement moving forward, if not formal yet, is that there will be a phasing. So there will be full implementation of the OEC for education, but in the second phase, priority will initially be given to recognition of experience. And then when we move into a new financial year, we're going to have to look at recognition of performance to complete phase two of the OEC implementation for education. The nurses have certainly been implemented. It's implemented from the 1st of July, 2007. That's where we had disputes and these arbitrations because there were a number of errors that were made in different provinces with the translation of the nurses. Those corrections are now being made in all the provinces, and we already believe that it is having an impact in terms of the retention of nurses, that less nurses are leaving the public service and even the country as a result of this particular OEC. I think certainly we do take the point on corruption, but it's also a comment on it. But certainly the initiative to try and integrate the information system will be very important. It might be necessary, Honourable Chairperson, in the light of the questions, that we even have a focus session where we respond on the whole area of corruption in a more comprehensive way. Because I think a lot of issues have been raised and one doesn't want to be defensive, but rather proactively, I would suggest that we try and put time so that we can really focus on common issues. Look at the national picture. Right now, we have a major delegation in Qatar, luckily I had to travel there, but we have a major delegation dealing with the implementation of the United Nations Convention, which South Africa has ratified. So there's many different aspects, and I think it's an area that we haven't really reported on comprehensively to this committee, and perhaps we need to do that. To really engage with the questions as they've been raised. Maybe just to clarify, the minister also did mention the NEDLAC process, but there was a specific question around NEDLAC. And it's true that it went into NEDLAC, but it never came out of NEDLAC at that particular point in time. The Single Public Service draft vote. But I think from my humble perspective, it would be important that we complete NEDLAC. And so that the committee, ultimately when the vote is debated, does not deal with issues that NEDLAC should have dealt with, because then we'll find that there should be a process of consultation which should be completed in a certain process, and then the NEDLAC stakeholders bring it all into the parliamentary process. That was the point that one was trying to make on that one. Why don't we meet the targets on senior management training? One of the issues would be that simply departments don't register adequate interest. Now, it's not a good excuse, but that is simply what we have right now. Courses are made available, departments don't express an interest. How do we compel? And what I've engaged with the committee in the previous meeting is that we can do need to look at a situation where certain examinations become compulsory for public servants, for example, to progress through the ranks. We should have examinations that should be compulsory. To enter the public service, there should be examinations that become compulsory. And I think that will also assist in this whole training endeavor. The question was asked about whether Kalama is outsourcing, but the Honorable Menti, the answer is yes. It is an outsourced model. The actual model is an outsourced model. So I have commented to the Public Service Administration Committee in the previous meeting that my view is that we need to develop the internal capacity. We need to use senior managers. There are many of us even sitting in this room here who are capable of training. As part of our service, we should have to run a course or a module for Kalama. And then you can influence from universities and other training institutions. You bring them into your setup as Kalama, and then they will teach a course or a module or whatever. So certainly my view is that we need to move away from the outsource model. And there was a general question around the outsourcing of government services. We don't have a comprehensive analysis, but it's one of these topics where there will be an analysis in the public sector stuff. It's been agreed by government and the public sector unions. This is one of the areas. So we would need to have a proper analysis there. I've mentioned security and cleaning, which would obviously be major outsourced services, where you've got significant numbers of personnel in the public service. Those are quite commonly outsourced, but we need to come with the figures as to the extent of this. And clearly, we cannot reconcile job creation. For example, in our department, I won't boast about the disability statistics, but I'll boast about, on this matter, we had an outsourced operation on cleaning, but then we took up all the cleaning staff into the permanent employee of the department, so they're now public servants. On the audit outcome, what is being done with the entities that get the claimers and so on? Perhaps one of the issues that we could do, one of the follow-ups, is we could give a more detailed breakdown for the benefit of the committee to know where the claimants are and where the qualified audits are and if they're a package. I think that's additional information which is available which we could package for the committee. And I think the minister has commented on the kinds of initiatives that we need to take on the national level, more proactive engagement and ensuring that the follow-up action is done. So I think that is very important. Now, where there's no reporting, one of the issues is if the Auditor General doesn't get sufficient information, they obviously cannot conclude a report. And I think there are particular entities out there where they simply physically have enough information to even issue a disclaimer in certain areas. And I think that's the question to ask, the question is addressed. The Honourable Bikani, on e-government, let's not say there's no progress or no discussion, because there's a number of initiatives out there. If we look within Home Affairs itself, the track and trace system which allows people to make inquiries about the process of their application. If we take the National Transport Information System, if we take SARS, which is probably a world leader when it comes to electronic submission and processing of tax returns. If we take the payments in metropolitan areas of local government electricity rates and so on. The problem is, and what this project does, is we try to build a common platform, because that will lead to greater interoperability, greater efficiency in the role of e-government, and the ability to work off a common platform. And there we agree, and we in fact reporting that we've got very strong. delays around the tenders are because these are highly technical. They have been advertised, but most of the bids were unresponsive. It could be a problem in the way in which the tender specifications were formulated together between our department and CETA. Certainly, we acknowledge that this is an area that we certainly need to speed up on. But maybe to acknowledge that as South Africa, there's a number of areas we progress in, but we're not integrating it and coordinating it, and that's where the weakness is. On the vacancy rate, I think that's an area that we will need to talk about going into the future, because the information, as the Minister emphasized this as well, information is so inaccurate. We operate from PASTAR as a department, and we've got a good handle. We can report on so many things from PASTAR, but the information is inaccurate. That's the problem that we have. So currently, if you look at PASTAR, you'll see probably 100,000 vacancies, or maybe more, which is about, 10%. You might see even more vacancies than that. But there have been various. Before I say that, if you look at personnel and expenditure, you'll see it's more or less 100%. Now, if you're spending your full budget on personnel, how can you have so many vacancies? And that's what helps us to pick up the accuracy of the information on the personnel system. The Public Service Commission at some point in time tried to do a more accurate examination of the extent of the vacancies. And various other alternatives have also attempted these. But I think certainly we can give you that information in percentages and numbers. And we can do a report for you, there's no problem. But we will just say that the information is not going to be accurate. But drawing down from Telstar, we will give you more accurate figures. That's what it's been a question you've raised on this matter. Yes, I think you did ask about the single public service. The Minister has answered that. The issue of Palama priorities, in many instances, they do speak to the priorities of government. But obviously, there is room for improvement. Even from our side, the kind of things that we identify as being problematic. Because there's no examination, like I said, the basics are often not known, even in the public service, and hence we do feel that there should be more training in some of those areas. Palama, however, does have a unit which deals with the evaluation of their courses, which is one of the questions that you posed, and one assumes that on the basis of those evaluation, then they do adjust their training courses. Yes, we also note the request for the financial management sustainability model, more information on that. We can see going forward exactly how to do that, but we can talk to the National Treasury. They can give us additional information in the meantime, which we can submit as a follow up. Yes, Honourable Muhali asked the tough questions on, we keep coming and showing that we're not meeting the target on the disability. The DPSA on disability is down to 1.5%. We haven't actually achieved the target. And on gender, we stand, I think, at 41%. We haven't achieved that target either. But maybe just to indicate, because there was a broader question which is relevant here, all these strategic frameworks, because that is always a legitimate question. We have all these strategic frameworks on gender equality, on job access, on human resource development. Do they help? And how do we ensure implementation? Well, what we do is we create steering committees for each one of these, and then we have quarterly meetings where we call the other departments. Because it is very much around making sure that other departments play their role, because that's where the power and all these matters are human resource management and development are intentional. So executive authorities and head of departments are responsible for their implementation. So what we do at the public service level is we convene these quarterly meetings in all these areas to share information, to find out how progress is, and to try and keep up the advocacy work to promote these various strategic frameworks. And I think, again, I would just emphasize is that when we go into the new legislation, there will have to be decisions taken about what power and influence the center, which would be the parties at the center of government, can deal over other departments. Do we want to maintain the current decentralized system? Because what we have here today is something here, the question is a product of that, where we, in a sense, feel we are assisting the we are assisting Parliament by coming with information which they may not have, but Parliament feels that why aren't we doing anything about it? So I think that's something we'll need to look at when we
that was conducted by the
center for public citizens innovation. Like the issues they raise about disability, you can really understand in my opinion, I personally think if you want to solve the issue, push the number, but you came up with a very creative idea in terms of how that can be, you know, of the issues of disability. And I just thought, oh, because some of you very well, this can be that. I know, of course, that CCSR still has some issues where it has come at the forefront and that affects the decision. But these are maybe those ideas that we have complained, we can definitely have a sense in the right of taking that way. I think we need the department has to use our labels there and indicate to us if they make some ones. I strongly believe they do. And of course, we take in the help of that one to indicate that there are critical issues that came out of the same respect. We don't need to continue to engage. And then the governance cluster will continue to first and the official adoption of the cluster approach, working with the top of checks and the Bartella relationship in there and the moment of the civil aspect. Also, the minister is a very important point that in our role of oversight and things is very difficult for us. You have to look into the law that we initiated and you know just oversight in terms of what is a law. That this implemented, you know, so that we will continue to shape the customer service, no compliance with what we're doing, can be done in that, but should matter. And we can utilize that as a standard in terms of oversight. Of course, it's one critical aspect in which we are very right. And I must also indicate that we are also faced with the integration and synergizing how our committee, both the SOP committee, together with the assets which we are saying that they want to take the process to make sure that the wisdom together is tightened and strengthened the process experiment. So those are the things that will continue to happen. But also, just in conclusion, to indicate that as a driving force of oversight of Parliament, I'm sure the issue of the involvement of the people, you know, to ensuring that the people down there that are working on what in terms of impact of this is for us and what we're saying we're taking it very seriously to ensure that we create not only oversight as a concept but we also have a responsive system that understands what we're doing. I would hand to the minister to explain around that and ask for.
Then I think going forward, my proposal is that one, you must be able to take a view that says the system of cluster must be part of the system of balance. Meaning that I think that must be taken into the third party so that by next year, the dark is where clusters are being approved. That wherever we are, we know that we are trying to come to Parliament. One of the major weaknesses that I think must be used, Parliament becomes so fluid, it changes the times of meeting in a very frequently. Meaning then that it makes it difficult for the president when they are looking. I think we must make some form of revision in a way that the program is planned. I know there is a perception that says that the possibility of looking at Parliament 6 years, 6 months, as it was done in the past, then people need to run in the constituency to strengthen oversight around the people that are past. And I say, I think you are a very important person who are able to defend our system. If you are there and you are in the country, come to the friend, check where they are, what is with that? Because they are very important. He is the care of the cluster. Because after cluster, he deals more with sectorial specific issues. Government, that coordinates everything. And I think you must take yourself the fact. Who has more than our better than your own?
You are more than that.
In terms of what to happen. In relation to more than 8 days of responsibility, that's what I'm saying. That you have to be able to take up. Now, I'm saying a program for this year, planned for this, where this meeting is taking place, it will be a goal. We hope that will be able to achieve that. The second thing is the issue around the corruption. I think going forward, corruption must be there is one municipality that I need to talk about, which is on Saturday. In the office of tax office, the municipal manager would ask people who are tendering. If it's 30 million on the tender of the tax by another 30 million, it's about 50 million. Then when you are taking a tender, the municipal manager will go out with the tax, right? And going to the very easy half. Senator. This means there is an expect. It means the deal of what you are receiving for the service that you get is not a reflect the SLT. There's a basic time. If you go to the issue of roads, for instance, you find that the road costs a kilometer 4 million. In other provinces that are 17 million. Yes? You can get reports, 32 are there, after that, will be in other cities. In some area provinces, when we talk about the city, a slope of the head is costing 27. Yes, 27. That is going to be very different places rather than one. 27. Because there is a fact that is added here. In one province, they discovered that 11.6 billion so far. If money that has been paid and as a parallel payment. Meaning that when they do the official register, these people are very brilliant. They know the truth. What they do, they usually provide the service they give you. 3 months down the line, they give you the same amount. And they say, no, we come back and say, no, we'll pay you by the state. They let the money use the car. They do that. Out of those things, 11.6 billion in this province has been discovered in the United States. Now, what is the minister? You see, the issue of the 2010 infrastructure that is still something as a construction site is costing 34 billion less. 34 billion less. If you go to Kauke as a province, the money that they had with in municipality today is over 100 billion rand every year. It's 190 billion to be precise. Now, what it tells you is that every year, but the 2010 project must be 34 billion. It tells you that housing is supposed to be moving in a paid without any informed assessment, without anything, because they're so different. If they would take this on occupational cost, 60 billion, and say that on infrastructure and other things, you take 40 billion to provide service every year, how they would take the cost? That is applicable to many other problems. I would not want to be basic on that. But what I'm saying, in essence, the budget that we have, which is almost 800 billion every year, is not going where it's supposed to go. Why? Because corruption. Sometimes it's supposed to be developed. That's why corruption is not. That's why I say this is the first year. Really, I think you must get deeper in this thing. You can't be dealt with now in the public. Let's go deeper. 1 minute, for example, was told, was saying to me, you have to talk about this thing of corruption of the party of the organization.
Then he went to one problem. The following week, he was saying, oh, let's deal with it. Let's deal with it. He was my, I said, no, welcome to the car. Because they approved the level of this concept, the way they are. If you are part there, you don't know. You speak and dismiss things. But when you come and be exposed to this thing, you see the level of it. And my solution is that also the issue of that you must ask the Department of Public Service. They must come and present you. Salary, restaurant, job place. How much money does it go to pay salary? Because it deals with this thing of occupational compensation, the issue of payment for public service. Because the first, he said, I put money in infrastructure to create jobs, or you pay salary for public service. As a country, which direction are we taking? I think I'm starting to tell you that when you talk about negotiation for salary or public service, you must understand what context is it happening in. The last point here is the skill availability department. I must tell you, shocking. Department, they are so quiet. You know, people who have paid so much huge salary, when workers come to them for them to do, they ask secretary to do the work, they come to us to visit the work. We must look at the quality of the real skills, not manga business here. The real skills in the department, how we have it. My point of view is that in the department where I'm deployed, municipalities, I'm going to make sure that we have. We can't have a new department here. As we say that we can go ourselves to get the work from private sector. Why should we have business development? Now I'm saying, there are questions that we have to begin to ask and know. Thank you very much.
Yes,
right.
Thank you.